Stand by for the most extraordinary chain of events ever swept up into high adventure.
Hey, Larry, where's the forklift?
Forklift! It's over there for the baggage loader.
Airplane. Airplane is drama.
This is Dr. Brody at the Mayo Clinic. There's a passenger on your Chicago flight 209er, a little girl named Lisa Davis, en route to Minneapolis. She's scheduled for a heart transplant. I want you to make sure that she's kept in a reclined position and that a continuous watch is kept on her IV.
Airplane is action. Airplane is romance.
I love you, Elaine.
I love you.
Airplane is music.
There is only one river. There is only one sea.
Airplane is dancing. Never has the screen been so big.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir, I've never been up in a plane before.
Peter Graves.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
My name is Roger Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot.
Leslie Nielsen.
This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now.
Lloyd Bridges.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a hat. Or a brooch, a pterodactyl, could you
Robert Stack.
All right, Steve, let's face a few facts.
And we hope you enjoy the rest of your flight.
Julie Haggerty.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Robert Hayes.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here.
Down, get a hold of yourself.
Please, let me handle this.
Calm down now. Get back to your seat. I'll take care of this. Calm down. Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Don't be one on the phone. Everything's been torn.
Sister, please, don't handle this.
Mayday. Mayday.
The most incredible adventure the screen has ever created.
He's coming right at us!
The big news is... Airplane.
All right, welcome back to Back to the Movies. I'm sure you missed us. We took a long holiday hiatus because, you know what? We're terrible hosts. But we are back with season two of Back to the Movies. Of course, we picked a movie that I think we have to be careful discussing because might get canceled. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. If we get canceled, it's just going to be our only income because, you know, obviously we don't have day jobs and we're just here to podcast. And we are the most podcast. You come for all the information. That's what I'm going to go with because I can't think of the word. I have been sick for a minute. I've been sitting on sick on pods now for like a solid 3 months. I am Ted Flint. I'm here with Jake Voss, Sean Tess Hessman. We are Back to the Movies is a part of the Tailgate Society. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, maybe Amazon. Hell if I know. Don't even give a shit. But like we shouldn't be supporting Amazon or, you know, technically Spotify or I don't think iTunes is terrible. Probably. Is iHeart doing anything shitty lately?
I think you can probably just throw any big corporation in that bucket.
Who owns Google? Who owns YouTube? Should we get on YouTube? I mean, I make us feel a little bit better. I mean, we could just start doing a radio tower and just broadcast this shit out. Private radio. CB this. Anyway, back to the movies. This part of Tailgate Society is a podcast in which me and Jake and Sean find movies that one of us hasn't seen or neither of us has seen or we have not seen a hot minute this tonight or today or whatever time you're listening to this. We are discussing 1980s Airplane with an exclamation point by the Zucker Brothers and someone else who I can't think of. And this is a movie that I have never seen. I've seen chunks of it. I've seen parts of it on cable, I'm sure. First time sitting down watching 1980s Airplane. I had no idea how the fuck we're going to discuss 1980s Airplane because normally we like go through the plot and ask questions and whatnot. And yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to talk about it like some of the other movies we've talked about that are, there isn't really a through, I mean, there is a through plot line, but the actual movie itself is just more or less a bunch of sketches and random shit, random funny shit thrown together. So,
yeah, it's seeing how many jokes and bits and in little pieces they could pack into what, 87 minutes.
And then tiptoe around all of the problematic
bits,
we'll say.
Right. Yeah. We're going to get there. 1980s Airplane has a bunch of famous actors in, like, what's nice about this movie and, like, so, all right, we're going to start with it. What is everyone's earliest memories of this movie? Obviously, I knew of the Naked Gun series. I knew of Hot Shots. I knew of the movies that came after this. Obviously, Scary Movie is probably more of Sean and Jake's age group, all directed by the same people, same writers. It is weird because, like, before this movie came out, like, Lloyd Bridges, Leslie Nielsen, among other characters, actors were, like, known for serious roles. And this is, like, their first, like, parody because, like, they're still playing it serious while things are going sideways in it. Or they're saying goofy shit.
Yeah. As far as, like, my earliest memories, I don't know for sure, but it was definitely, like, when I was a kid, definitely when I was a teenager, we watched, me and my dad watched this and Hot Shots all the time. It's just, it's one of those, it's one of my dad's favorite movies. So, you know, when it was on, if it was on a movie channel or something, we'd throw it on, watch the last half hour, 45 minutes or whatever. So that was, I mean, I think before this, I was saying, you know, I've probably seen this movie 25 plus times. I love it. I think it's hilarious. We're going to dive into some of why, if you watched it for the first time today, I can understand why you maybe don't feel that way. it's
catching strays already. That's cool. All right. I didn't think it wasn't funny. No.
It's a lot. That's for sure. Yeah. For me, I mean, I've been aware of this movie for, I mean, probably in high school. You know, some of the quotes started getting thrown around and I I don't know how long it took me to, like, understand or really commit to memory where they were from or whatever, but I had never watched this movie until, I don't know what it was, a couple months ago, month and a half ago. So that's when I watched it for the first time. I thought it was hilarious for the most part. Obviously, there's, like we said, there's a lot of problematic stuff where it's just like, oh my, okay. And you kind of, like, roll your eyes or be like, all right, well, that was 1980. So that's a thing. I did rewatch it again today just to refresh in my brain and go through my notes as the movie was going and add a few notes. Cause there is a lot of stuff, like, packed in this movie, whether it's, like, in the background or just, like, little lines or whatever. So I enjoyed watching it again today for the second time in, yeah, whatever it is, 6 weeks, something like that. So, yeah, it was one of those movies for me that it would be like somebody would, like, bring up Airplane or they would say a quote or something. And I would be like, oh, yeah, that's Airplane, right? I've never seen that movie. And they would just look at you like, are you fucking serious? And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's one of those that I need to watch. And I said that for the last, you know, probably 10 years and then finally watched it. So.
Yeah, it is one that I feel like I can understand, like, if you hadn't seen it, you know, if you're even 20 years old or something and you haven't seen it, I can understand it just continuing to be a blind spot. I don't know that it's really, I guess we've talked about this before, that almost nobody has cable anyway, so it's not like it's on stuff anyway, but
yeah, when did this movie stop being played on cable?
I feel like It's probably still on cable, but like no one watches cable.
I mean, it's on some cable channel.
We made some jokes about being it canceled, but like, man, Scary Movie's a lot worse. Like, the shit in Scary Movie's worse, and it's on cable. Like, don't give me that look.
Is it?
They fire hose her to the ceiling after they have sex in Scary Movie. Nothing like that happens in this fucking
There's movie. There's a lot of racial stuff in this movie, right, that is completely inappropriate and that's why I think it has been taken off TV a long time ago.
Sure, but like I knew what I was going into. I've seen some of the Naked Gun movies. We should watch the first Naked Gun. Which one has him as the umpire?
I've not seen those either, so
I don't remember which one it is.
But that part's amazing. Hot Shots, obviously amazing. Scary Movie would get us canceled if we ever tried talking about that fucking movie. What caught me was like, I remember certain parts. Like, I remember Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in this movie, like very, very clearly. I did not
Roger realize Murdoch.
I did not realize he was gone basically 20 minutes into it. I did like, there's lots of like, what makes this movie hard to talk about is there's just so many sight gags that like you see and then they're gone. Like at the beginning when like the pilot's going through the magazines, it wasn't just like wanking section. Yeah, you know, like hilarious. Like it's just made me chuckle. You know, or like the two announcers fighting.
Yeah, he's going through the magazines and he gets to the one section of the rack and it's whacking material is what it's labeled. I missed that the first time around too. So that was something that I actually added today when I rewatched it. But I mean, the whole point of this or the through plot line of this is you have Ted Stryker, his girlfriend is a stewardess. She basically leaves him a note to break up with him. He goes to the airport to try and make up with her. He buys ticket to get on plane. Plane flies. Lots of sickness on plane. No more pilots. Ted Stryker, old retired PTSD pilot, has to pilot plane, lands plane.
Everyone's happy.
Everybody's happy. So that's the through plot line, but that doesn't really matter because that's not what like that's very yeah, little. That's a very little part of the actual like good stuff in the movie.
It is scotch tape holding the whole thing together, yeah. Really.
So we'll just to cover that, and then now we can just go crazy on all the small.
Right, I did love like one thing. I know it was a joke because they're making fun of the ticket that's smoking, but like one of the. He goes smoking section really like really shows you like how old this movie is, right? Even if it is a joke about him getting a smoking ticket in the smoking section.
Oh, I laughed so hard the first time because obviously she asks for smoking or non-smoking and he says smoking and then she hands him the ticket that's like literally smoking and I was like, oh my God.
Speaking of smoking section. I need to lay off the Marvel Red.
Yeah, you sound like you smoke a
pack. Who needs filters? Like, you got to cut those filters.
Filterless. Roll your own.
Sorry, I got to take a second and watch what apparently is a big boy touchdown in Ohio State, Texas. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, yeah. He's rolling. Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't even call out a big boy touchdown because that dude's fast.
He's not a small boy.
No, he's not. That's what she said. anyways, what was funny about this movie? I don't know where I was going, but like I said, I don't remember ever watching it. I don't remember like I knew of it. Obviously, I knew Leslie Nielsen was in this, but like Leslie Nielsen was Naked Gun. Leslie Nielsen was Hot. Oh no, Lloyd Bridges. See, like in my head,
Lloyd Bridges is Hot Shots. Yeah,
I thought Lloyd Bridges and I thought Leslie Nielsen was Lloyd Bridges' character in this. Like I could not figure out because I thought for sure he had the sniffing glue line, and I could not figure out. How he got off the airplane into like did they cast him twice? Like for the first like 20 minutes of this movie, I'm like, is Leslie Nielsen in like is he dual roles? Is he also on the ground? You know? But it is an interesting watch. It's 90 minutes. You can get in and out. It is a movie that like I'm sorry, Generation Z, if you're listening to this, because you'll burn my house to the ground. You can't watch with your phone on. Like put your phone down.
You're gonna miss out the joke. Yeah, not if you actually want to catch most of them, and even you're probably gonna have to watch a second or a third time to really like. Even the first time I watched it, I rewound the beginning with the intercom, like red lane, white lane, back and forth a couple times to listen to it and focus on that because there's like a bunch of stuff going on, and then you have the intercom back and forth of
Just arguing in the background.
And yeah. I was like, I want to actually focus on this to understand what they say to each other back and forth.
Which apparently, according to the trivia, those are like the real announcers for that airport.
Really?
So
that's cool. Or red zone, red zone, white
zone. So just to get this out of the way, is there what actor showed up in this movie that you're like, holy shit, he's in this? Because I have a pretty big one that, like, obviously I did not realize. I mean, not big for me.
I mean,
that's what she said. Also, can I say that joke twice? No, too much, too much. Went to the well too many times. All right.
I guess it's a tough one for me because, like I said, I've watched this movie so many times over the last 25 years that pretty familiar with everybody in it. Obviously, like you said, there's a lot of, big name ones, so you might not necessarily remember all of them. They've all got their moments for sure.
All right, I'm just gonna say it. Robert Stack, Unsolved Mysteries. What the fuck is Robert Stack in this movie?
He's probably my one that, even when he came on today, when I was thinking about it, I go, okay, this is the one that definitely doesn't.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, I had no idea he was in it.
I understand you guys are younger than me, but did you guys watch that show? Because that show scared the fuck.
Oh, hell yeah.
Those alien episodes?
Dude,
fuck that shit. Fuck all that shit.
They made that like the theme music and like just everything around it, and then his voice, and yeah.
Sure, I can.
Oh, Ted. Oh no. Just fix it and come back in, and I'll edit it. Unmute. You're still muted.
I don't want to be unmuted. Fuck you. Anyway, but like, just like. I don't know, but like just Unsolved Mysteries, man, like the little gray aliens, like I could deal with like the killers and the missing children and all
so
that.
Yeah,
but like the alien ones, like just no like, and I know like I've ever watched it now, it's cheesy as shit, but like little like 10-year-old me watching Unsolved Mysteries, 12-year-old me, like, just
not long ago they were on Netflix. I don't know if they still are.
Well, they didn't, they redo them, like they came back.
I think they might have done a new one. I obviously did not watch.
Also, another big actor that's in this for a second is James Hong. He's an Asian actor. He is the Asian guy that, like, commits seppuku. He's the dad from Kung Fu Panda. He's also been in about every other Asian. He's in a bunch of movies. You'd know if you saw him. If you look up what he looks like, you'd be like, oh yeah, that guy's that guy.
He's
also in Gremlins.
And I literally like clicked on his IMDb and I was like, yeah, I recognize him from somewhere. I don't know where, but
yeah, Robert Stack. And apparently he did his own. We're going to try this mic.
There you go.
I'm pissed off the other one. So this is a mic that is stuck to my head. So
sounds fun.
Cool. But yeah, Robert Stack did his own stunt scenes when he fought those people at 61 years old. So I was like watching that scene. I'm like, is that like they didn't cut there. And that looks like him when he pops up in one of those flips. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It caught my eye. But also that's something that I would care about.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me when you talk about like the characters is, so I know Leslie Nielsen and I know who Robert Stack is. And obviously I know who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is. But the other people... And I know that there's like a bunch of them are famous, but they're like older in 1980. And I just don't like connect any of them to anything like for me in my brain or know who they are. So I thought maybe there was going to be like, you're going to come out with like, I don't know, one of the people and be like, what? You don't know who this person is? Because well, like, I just don't.
That's why I'd be interested if we did like Hot Shots or Scary Movie, something that's like closer to us in pulp culture that we would recognize. I'd be curious how many people in pulp Hot Shots we know now. Like how many side characters? And that came out, what, 91, 92?
Yeah, I think 91.
I mean, Charlie Sheen, obviously.
Right around.
91.
So, I mean, obviously.
And I don't think I've ever seen Hot Shots or any of Hot Shots, to be honest with you.
There's two of them, and the second one they're fighting Saddam Hussein, which, you know, that aged really well.
drop a bomb on him on a beach or some shit.
What is this, Team America? Anyway.
All right. So what is, I really like the fight scene at the bar with the two Girl Scouts kicking the
Girl Scouts.
I like it when
turns,
he
goes from the fight to what, the one getting thrown down the bar and the jukebox turn on Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
Yeah.
And then it turns into like a 5-minute disco dance scene.
I love when he's like pinch me and the guy just like slowly like distance himself. Like I like how they could have like went in a whole different direction. They're like, no, this guy, be like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna. It just so many skits. I got a guy get stabbed on the dance floor. I don't even know if we're doing a good enough job like describing this movie. Like I feel like if you haven't seen this movie enough, I'm not sure how much fun you're gonna have with this podcast because like it's really hard for us to like the bullshit describing.
No, I think if you're listening to a podcast about this movie, I think you're only listening to it because you've seen it and enjoy it and enjoy like people revisiting it. Because it's, yeah, I mean, we've already skipped ahead, and jumped ahead of, I don't know, 10 of my notes. Like I literally just have a page full of a lot of quotes, but just like,
let's rewind the tape.
So we have
damn, I didn't do the wheel.
No, you didn't do the wheel, but we started out pretty well. So I just let it go. I mean, cause literally, so we referenced the red zone, white zone intercom back and forth. And that's when, what's her name?
Elaine
is like, well, everybody like is arriving at the airport and getting dropped off, but it's like watching Elaine walk in and you have the zone back and forth, but then you have like people walking through metal detectors and the person that it's not TSA then, but like the person, sure, the attendant that's there. Yeah. It's like,
well, we should have the person, Elaine. I was right. It is Elaine.
Has the person say, hey, can you know, put all of your metal objects in this dish? And the guy like drops like whatever, a watch in there, and then pulls his leg and arm off and like sets him on top of there. That was like funny to me. Then you have the plane crashing, like the guy like signaling the plane the wrong way and the plane crashes through the building.
Right into the building, yeah.
You have the the white phone, like he picks up the red phone and it says no, but like he's got a phone call and she responds on the red phone, no, the white phone. Like it's just like one little thing, like one little skit thing after another. In the beginning, especially.
Well, and the Jaws theme.
That's where.
Oh yeah, and the beginning is like the Jaws spoof theme.
Yeah. If you were gonna sit here and touch every joke and bit made, man, you'd go on forever because there's layers and you'll have three of them going on at the same time.
There's the sick girl that needs the heart transplant, and they call the Mayo Clinic,
they just kind of like drop that one, like they drop that whole thing, like how does she not show back up when the plane's going to shit?
And then Ham's calling on five, hold the mayo.
Yeah,
I think my first like legit laugh was when he comes back from telling how he met Elaine and the old woman hung herself. That was like, I'm like okay. Like I thought we'd have like a skeleton or something, like she like died of old age or some shit, but not like just like she like legit was like
her legs are there. She hung herself.
But all right, let's talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Which that whole part is crazy to me. Like, and the actual pilot, you can tell like they're skirting real close to the sun there. The actual pilot's comments to the kid,
yeah,
the little kid. Like I heard they had to edit a few lines out, which tracks because like. That's one of those, like, it's like, like, I'm like, are they, I like perked up. I'm like, what are we really, this is what we're going with here? Like, I was just waiting for him to be like, how about you sit on my lap, Jimmy, or some shit like that. Like, and I'm like, okay, this is, and I get it. It's tongue in the cheek and whatnot, but like, this is slightly uncomfortable.
There's a few that are a little more direct than definitely need to be in there, I guess. But yeah, even the just the whole situation. Yeah, that he just continues asking what start as, you know, like innocent kid question, you know, have you ever been in the cockpit, this and that, and then yeah, it gets sideways pretty quick on that one.
Which, right before that, I think another freaking part I burst out laughing, and this is super inappropriate, so it's when like the little kid brings another little girl some coffee and he's like, you like my coffee? She's like, yeah, I like my coffee, like I like my men black. And like his look, like this looks so sad when he fucking does it.
He looks just defeated and deflated.
But and yes,
two 12-year-olds acting with each other there. It's
all right. What's about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? I feel like that's like the first quote. Like I feel like that's the first real like memorable quote from this movie, is that whole back and forth when he's like, "No, you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. My dad says you're lazy. You're lazy. You're not doing shit." He's like, "Listen, kid. I'll tell your dad if you're fucking dragging Walton and Lander up and down the court every goddamn night or some shit," you know, like, crack me up pretty goddamn hard. And I ruined that line horribly. I'm sure one of you can say it better, so have at it.
I thought I had that quote, like, I marked that down as a quote, but I guess I didn't.
Yeah, I don't, it's, he gives, yeah, the whole thing of just, I think you're the greatest, but yeah, my dad thinks you're lazy, you know, you don't get back on defense, this and that, and then, yeah, he just snaps, and it's, listen, kid, I've been
busting my buns every night.
He's like, I've been told that since I was at UCLA, and then yeah, he's just tell your old man to drag Walton Lanier up and down the floor for 48 minutes each night or something like
yeah, that. Yeah, I think that's what it was. It's good.
So I was talking to the girlfriend about this movie, and she's like, I always like to be like, you know, quotes from this movie, etc. And then I start quoting them, and she's like, I know that one, but I don't know any of the other ones. And I'm like, is this movie that old? Or like, or is this just like a guy thing where like we quote this movie and it's just a dude thing that quotes movies, and maybe that's just our ecosystem, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think there's,
like, at least two.
Two probably that I pretty consistently have heard. Maybe not used, but had heard or whatever, as far as references, quotes that reference the movie, even without have knowing, you know, at least to start with, that they were from the movie. So I don't know. Maybe it is a dude, a guy thing. I don't know. Could be.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like you were saying, there's at least a couple that I think are just in the world as it is, whether people know of it or know it is or not, I guess. And then, yeah, I think the rest of them, like the ones from, if you're talking to somebody about Airplane, you know, the ones you would drop in. Yeah, that might just be a dude thing. I don't know.
Like, surely you can't be serious, I think, is number one, or do you think picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue is number one? Like, I feel like those are 1A, 1B. But like,
and Don't Call Me Shirley is one that, like, a reference that got used a lot, at least in, yeah, for me.
So she knew that one. She knew that quote. Okay. She did not know the, I picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue. She said she only knew that quote because I say that quote.
Well, I mean, that's not just a, it's not just a sniffing glue quote. I mean, he references it like, I picked a bad week to quit smoking. I picked a bad week to quit drinking. Or like, it's, yeah, whatever, it's referenced multiple times, yeah, throughout the running bit. Yeah, I mean, I think what he has an amphetamines one in there.
Oh yeah,
yep. He pops a greenie and says that. So it's like, that's just kind of like a running bit for that character, and it just escalates, right, more,
I
mean, and more.
I know that's a bit, but like, none of us drop the other three. We always just drop the glue one. At least I do. I don't drop. I picked a bad week.
Yeah, smoking. I mean, it's obviously it's the pinnacle one. You know, it's the last one, so it's the biggest one. Obviously, the biggest over the top one. So it's definitely the cap on the bit. So I think that does obviously make it makes it more popular.
So what is the most random thing in this movie that either you didn't get or you're like, huh, putting you on the spot. I have one that I caught. And maybe I wasn't watching close enough where I was just like, what? Like a full ass what? Like, I'm like, is it a dated reference? Like,
I should have marked some of those down. There wasn't a lot, but there were.
The Singing Nun apparently is a reference that I don't get.
There were a couple today that on the rewatch where I was like, I don't really know what that was supposed to be, but I don't remember exactly what they were and I didn't mark them down. But for the most part, I think I at least got some part of the reference to what they were doing in all the bits.
Mine was definitely when she wakes up next to the horse. And I'm like,
yes, that was one today. I was like, what the hell? What did I miss about the horse?
Is this a Godfather reference? I was just like, I'm like, there's something there. I don't know. Like, I'm like, and who was that? I must have missed who that was supposed to be. She's supposed to be one of the people's wives. Like, who is that person?
Yeah, she's one of the pilots. I'm guessing that main pilot is supposed to be his wife.
Yeah. Yep. That's why they call her and like, hey, there's an issue with his flight. Figured you'd want to be here, whatever.
Yeah. And when she gets there, they say something about like,
right, apparently
he's fine, but he's unconscious or something like that, which drops in the just like Gerald Ford line, which
yeah, people are saying it's a Godfather reference, but I don't know if I get that. Like, I understand like what we're like, I understand that, but yeah, I guess. Anyways, or like Leslie Nielsen pulling eggs out of that person's mouth. Like, I was real confused for a hot second.
Well, it's like a sleight of hand thing, but I don't know why. But I don't know why.
Yeah, that's one. Is it just supposed to be a weird little off bit, or yeah, is there something more to this that I'm
missing? Yeah, if there's some bigger reference there, I have no idea what it is. But yeah, it was literally just like a sleight of hand magic trick bit, and then just like in there for some reason.
Sorry, the horse thing annoyed me. Annoyed me is a strong word. I was just like, I don't understand what's happening here. All right. Like most of our questions we ask on this podcast, I feel like we can't do. Like, there's no Goosebumps moment. We can try tackling what hasn't aged well, but besides like the Jive Talk, which I think that aged is fine. It is what it is. Like, I don't think it's terrible if the African Americans talking like that, I guess.
I mean, it is like a stereotype type of thing. I don't know. Like, it's not good.
I just think it was good.
No. No, I know you're not saying that. It's just, yeah, it's not good. It's like, to me, I don't know that I don't know that a lot of the problematic racial stuff was like crazy bad, but it's just like stuff that you don't need. Like, it's not necessary by any means, and it is like over the top stereotype stuff. And you had like a Middle Eastern guy dumping gas on himself.
I laughed too hard at that part, like watching like the match, like not even like.
I mean, removing the racial part of it, it is fucking like, it is funny. Like, if it was just a normal person sitting there being like, I want out of this situation so bad. This is how I'm getting out of the situation.
I knew that match was going to hit him. I'm like, that match is going to drop down. It's going to get him.
But again, it is like, it's just over the top. It's unneeded racial stuff. But,
and I swear one of those monks was someone I recognized. I meant to look that up.
I agree. And I didn't search into that super deeply.
I don't think it's anyone famous.
But no, like, I don't think it was famous, but it was someone where I was like, I'm pretty sure I recognize that person.
Did you guys know Otto the pilot, the autopilot got his own cast?
Otto the autopilot?
Yeah.
It's very good.
No way.
Such a good, like, that might be my favorite stupid but also like really useful addition to like the whole bit of everything happening as far as flying the plane was Otto, the automatic pilot, just being an inflatable thing that when he's inflated, he can autopilot the plane and just, then needs reinflated via tube in his beltline area. So good.
It's a good, like, obviously just such a small little thing to do, but for what it, you know, it builds like four or five different jokes through the whole thing. Got the refilling it with air, and then, you know, when they turn off the autopilot and he flies back, and then he comes back and he's just groping the girl.
He's groping Elaine. Yeah, I mean, so we're into the point. So the like we said, or like I said earlier, part of the through plot line is like everybody that ate the fish is now infected with this whatever disease or bacteria or whatever, and they're just like not dying, but like passing out and being incapacitated. So you have all these people that like it just causes problems, and you end up with Stryker having to fly the plane, and Elaine Otto flies the plane for a while, and then Elaine has to give him some assistance via reinflation tube, which is when Leslie Nielsen's character comes back in and he's just like, oh, and like goes back out of the cockpit.
Yeah, just right. Has the quick glance and they're busy here, huh?
All right, I think I figured it out, but it's not a good answer, so that's fine. he's President lame. Logan from the 24 series, but also Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad is in this movie. Found that out just now.
Who's that? Plays,
have you seen Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Jonathan Banks.
Plays, okay. I just clicked on it. Yep, I got it.
He plays.
Who the hell
like
is he?
Like one of the guys in the he's the guy that's like going nuts in the tower at the end, like has like a bomber jacket on.
Oh,
one of the radio guys.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely didn't catch that.
So who's your favorite person in the movie, like actor, like role? Like I'm trying to circumvent the questions we can't answer.
Sure, man. I don't know.
It's Leslie Nielsen, right? It has to be Leslie Nielsen.
I think that's the easy answer. I was trying to think if I could come up with a more creative answer with some good reasoning besides Leslie Nielsen. I mean, he's great. He just
is. We're all counting on you. Don't let us down. Like three separate times.
I mean, I don't know that I can. I mean, for what Kareem did, he was pretty good. I'm not going to like make him my favorite person. I laughed so hard when, like, after he passed out and they have to go pull him out of the seat and he's got the goggles on and the shorts and the jock strap. That was pretty good.
I like when he pointed out his name tag and he was like, no,
I'm Roger Murdoch.
Lloyd Bridges is great. I love like reading articles about this movie because, like, a lot of the serious actors, like, Lloyd Bridges, like, turn it down. He's like, this, I don't understand the script. I don't want to do this shit. And his sons are like, no, you have to do this. And realize like, you need to play this straight. They want you in this as being yourself, but also not like convincing all the actors to say the most wacky shit possible, but like keep it like,
but actually play it straight. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably why some of that works so well. And you referenced earlier, like a lot of those actors were like legit, like not comedy, like drama, dramatic actors, whatever before. But that's probably part of why it works so well, is because they're actually just playing, they're saying and doing ridiculous things, but they're doing it in a perfectly like actually well acted, like straight man role.
Dude, Leslie Nielsen used this role to like pay his bills for like the next 35 years. Like go look at his IMDb. It's all parody movies. Like going forward, that's all he fucking does. Like, I imagine he's in the sequel. I know he's in all three. Excuse me, Naked Gun movies. I don't know if he's in. I'm sure he pops up in Hot Shots for some reason. I'm sure, like, you know, like commercials, whatever. Like, that's just that man. That man made bank. He bought houses.
Let's see.
Oh yeah, I mean, after that, he was you know, like you said, he just did a lot more lighter comedy stuff, which was easy enough for it. I mean, but yeah, it's like you said, between the Naked Gun movies, between this, that was, I'm sure he made good money off.
So I don't know. That were so pretty many easy of these for movies. Him to make.
I was going to say he made money. I'm not sure he made good money in his movies in the 90s, but he made money.
Well, he made like from here, between here and 1990, there's like, he has like 20 credits.
Mr. Magoo. He doesn't seem Mr. Magoo. Spy Hard. Dracula Dead and Loving It. Like, also all the Naked Gun movies. Surf Ninjas. Imagine Surf Ninjas. When's this thing I sit down with Surf Ninjas? That's where
Naked Gun 33 and a third. Nice.
I need to watch those fucking movies.
I've never watched those movies. I love their creativity name wise though.
But I also feel like that'd be this may be really hard for us to talk about. Like, all right, so what's your favorite gag then? Can't say actor. What's your favorite like gag or sketch or part? Like,
I think at least my favorite bit, kind of at least reoccurring bit, is the what is it question. Like the where he says he has to go to headquarters and or she says she's going back to headquarters after the flight, and he says, headquarters, what is it? And she replies, it's a big building where they do all their operations. So I know they do that with headquarters, with hospital.
They do it with cockpit, I think.
Cockpit. And yeah, it's just the obviously the concern somebody asking what is it, what is wrong, and the reply of just the literal, well, this is what that thing is I was talking about.
Yeah, it's not like one section of the movie, but it is a reoccurring bit throughout it. It's good. And it's like every time it's like you don't even necessarily expect it because they don't do it like a lot. It's like three or four occurrences probably. But it is, yeah, it's pretty funny. I think my favorite part of the movie is a bit that they stole from Who's on First, but it's the the cockpit, between the navigator Roger and Captain Over. Yeah.
And Victor.
What's our vector? Victor and Roger Over. Like, it's the communicating on the radio. I think that's my favorite part. It's because it's like, yeah, it is like a little bit ripping that off, but it's also creative and funny, and I enjoyed it even the second time like I said, 6 weeks of watching it.
All right, I feel like this is low hanging fruit, but I love when the woman's like hysteria and like they start slapping her to like get her better, and the doctor starts slapping her, and then like they pull back and they have like boxing gloves, a gun, like a crowbar, like they're all like in line, like. And apparently, like, that was, like, ad-libbed on the set. Like, they wrote and, like, shot that scene, like, on this, like, random day where, like, they're talking.
They just came up with it, yeah. That's good.
Because, like, the woman was, like, I mean, the part where, like, she's, like, hysteria's in there. And then she's, like, how about we have, like, everybody line up and, like, just want their piece of this, you know? But, yeah, like, that part's great. Obviously, what was up with that one guy on the ground? Like, the crazy guy in the background. That like unplugged the plug in. He's like, "Oh, you caught me! I'm just being a
His name's like Johnny or something. Tower.
Yeah, it's a very strange part in there for sure.
I'm just being a little scat or whatever the hell he says. You know, like when he unplugs the lights for the goddamn airplane at the end.
Yeah, it's. It's a weird thing, I guess, that you throw the actual, like, I don't know if it's maybe to counter in the same scene, but it's obviously just the so over-the-top goofy stuff, and he's doing it while Lloyd Bridges is doing all his straightforward, dry stuff, like, side by side.
Yeah, I think that's probably where that came from. I didn't, like, dislike that character by any means, but he didn't do a lot for me as far as, like, making me laugh.
For a movie that's all over the place, I don't know how you can say it took me out of the movie, but, like, it took me out of the movie, but how can you say that about fucking Airplane? Like, where they're just tossing everything at the screen.
Yeah.
You know?
I
did mention earlier that I have not seen this, but like the autopilot is something that I have always known. Like, I don't know why I knew that. But
really?
Like, that's just something I always, like, I knew the inflatable autopilot was in this movie at some point. I also didn't realize where she blows him up. But like, just, I knew at some point, like, he takes off about everybody at the end. I knew, like,
not only does she have to reinflate him by blowing him up on his crotch, but then they both have a cigarette afterward. Yeah. Like, they do a cut and she's sitting in the other seat and they're both smoking a cigarette or whatever. The blow up doll has a cigarette.
They're both enjoying a job well done.
It's amazing.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. And then later on, when they like let the pilot like float around the room, like he gets behind her and mm-hmm. like starts grabbing her and shit, and she has to like toss him away. But like, so I feel like if we ask the GIF question, there's only one answer, like famous GIF from this movie, unless we're going to say the glue. But I think it's got to be him sweating his balls.
Sweating. Over. Him sweating.
He is sweating. Yeah.
Stryker sweating when he's like piloting to land the plane. That's the only one and only answer for that question.
Do you think that gets overused? Does that get overused more than Jordan Peele sweating? Like, which one gets overused more?
I would imagine it's Peele. Maybe like overall en masse. I think there's definitely a number of people. Like, I don't know that I've ever actually used that sweating GIF, but I've
from Airplane.
Seen, yeah, from Airplane.
I can't. I mean, I wish I could search. I'm sure I have. Like, I wish I could search by GIF.
But I know that I've seen it. I know that I see it often. I don't even know who to reference that I see it often from, but I know that I see it often.
It's a top tier. I'm nervous watching a sporting event GIF. That and Calmer Than You Are from Lebowski.
That's usually more my go-to than
sweating. Then, you know, Jordan Peele. We should do Lebowski sometime. It's been a minute since I sit down and watch that.
Sure.
I'm assuming we've all seen it, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen it actually that many times, but I've seen it.
There's a point back when I was younger that I asked a friend of mine who was much more smart with computers than I am to like just make me a CD. I said CD of literally just the sounds from Lebowski, just like the dialogue. But so I wanted to have like a long car drive where I could just like pop that in because I knew the movie so well. That's when they hear it.
Listen to the audio.
Right. That seems weird when you say it out loud. It was slightly weird, but you know.
Yeah, I don't think that would be as enjoyable as you think it would be, but.
I mean, this is back for podcast or on your phone. Like, you know.
No, I understand the point of what you're saying, but I feel like it's probably not actually as effective as you think it would be, just the audio.
Only way to find out. I used to fall asleep to that movie. But anyway, back to this movie. Yeah, I think it's a sweating GIF, right? I mean, I don't think
it has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's anything else that would be.
I did love, really I did laugh
close.
I did laugh too hard when, like, Robert Stack is talking. He thinks his mic's off. And he's like, this guy has no fucking chance of landing this goddamn plane.
Yeah. Oh, they're so fucked. I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh. And then what, right after that, when it's. When Elaine's running the radio, and it's just thank God he doesn't know how much I hate his guts, or something like that.
Thank God you don't know how much he hates your guts, dude. Man, when Robert Stack showed up, I was like, what the fuck is this man doing in this goddamn movie? Like, when did Unsolved Mysteries start?
That's like, what I was about to ask. Like, was this like beginning of
dude? Unsolved Mysteries
is this like. Prime Unsolved Mysteries.
No, that had to be late '80s, because he used to do a show.
That's what I would have assumed is like later '80s, like around 90 is what I would have guessed.
So Robert Stack used to do a show called like Emergency or something. I can look it up here and say where like he was.
I'm on his IMDb. Hang on.
It was like Emergency or something where like he was the narrator of like what I imagine was like what Chicago PD is now and all those fucking shit, you know. And but like yeah, man, Robert Stack.
And he was born in
1919. Oh, man. He saw two great wars, or at least one.
Wow.
He was in To Be or Not to Be. What the fuck that means. All right.
61 in this?
Yeah, that's what was nuts when he fucking did the goddamn stunts.
Yeah.
You know, like, but like, yeah, Unsolved Mysteries was like straight up trauma for a bunch of us. Why the fuck can I not see this? All right, let's have to Google Unsolved Mysteries, because you know, probably because it's not, all right, anyways, but like, yeah, like, did it not fuck with you guys? Like, we touched on this for a minute.
Police like, Story. Oh, no, that's two episodes. Most Wanted?
Maybe. 87.
It's a TV series that had 23 episodes.
All right.
Or he was in 23 episodes.
That might have been it. Robert Stack. He was on it from... Fuck you. Google's trash anymore, man. Everything's trash. Can we just unplug the internet and just fucking...
Reboot it.
I saw Zuck was saying some stupid ass shit today.
Yeah, he's been having a week.
88 to 89 was the first season.
He said 87, but 87 to 2002 did not host all the specials. 88 to 97 was when he was on.
Oh yeah, Wikipedia says yeah, that you're right.
So, yeah, that would have been, I was 6 to...
87 and 97 on NBC, 97 and 99 on CBS, 102 on Lifetime, and then good old Spike TV.
So I feel like 87 to 97, you guys weren't old enough for Unsolved Mysteries to fuck with you.
No. It would have been, honestly, probably when it was on Lifetime. Well, yeah, maybe. Would have been like end of CBS. I don't know. Like, I feel like that stuff was just on, like, it wasn't even new episodes. It was just like they just played that all the time and it was just on TV.
Dude, those alien episodes always fucked with me. Like, I'm sorry, but they just fuck all of them. Like,
yeah. Like, to your point, though, I need to go back and like search out some of those and like rewatch them and see how like just corny they are now, because they have to be.
I bet it was
either that or they're going to give me nightmares again. I don't know.
Oh, dude, yeah. Or they were just actually incredible. And they're
dude, he was fucking Elliot Ness for fucking 4 seasons of The Untouchables on TV. 119 fucking episodes. Holy shit.
When was that?
Fucking 59 to 63.
Oh, way back.
Way like that's Tom. How's Tom Hyde's birthday type shit?
Damn, Hyde catching strays, huh?
But yeah, like, yeah, Unsolved Mysteries. Like, man, I don't know. I gotta stop myself. Those fucking gray alien episodes. Fuck that shit. That and X Files. Just no. And Fire in the Sky.
I never watched X. Never really watched X Files.
Yeah, don't ever go watch Fire in the Sky either. That shit will fuck you up.
I've never watched any of that.
Don't like aliens. Don't like ghosts. Don't fuck with aliens, don't fuck with ghosts. Seems pretty easy. Two pretty simple rules to follow, you know.
Yeah, they did do the cockpit. Yeah, it's the little room in the front of the plane where the pilots sit. So I have that quote written down right here.
So would you like to hear like the original quote that the pilot wanted to say to the little boy?
Oh boy, sure.
This is not me.
This is the quote that they cut from the movie.
Yes, they changed it. Apparently, when the pilot says to the boy, "Have you ever seen a cockpit before?" It was, "Have you ever seen a grown man's cock before?"
Okay. Yep. Good thing they didn't do that.
I do want to bet they filmed that and it's fucking dubbed.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he's in Caddyshack too. Uncommon Valor? Fuck yeah. Anyways, all right, I'm done.
I am serious and don't call me Shirley.
All right, I think that's the best quote.
Yeah.
And they say it twice. I didn't realize they said it twice.
Yeah, he uses it twice. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, as far as like, it's got to be the most recognizable quote for sure.
I feel like it's a Twitter poll and I hate going to Twitter anymore.
Can we step back and I mean, I know we're just all over the place now anyway, but I don't remember exactly what the leading up to it is, but it's talking about their relationship falling apart or whatever, and that's what led to my drinking problem, and then he's like throwing drinks at his own face and dumping them down his chest.
Did you catch her say
I sit on his face underneath the stars or some shit.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah. There's, I have a quote of something about a nice bedroom with cute mirrors on the ceiling. That was, I in got there that somewhere one, too.
But that was, yeah, really, and like, but she definitely said I sat on his face. I was like, what?
Oh yeah.
What?
That's something about I sat on your face until blah blah blah.
And whatever. I was like, "Is it?" I was like, "What was this fucking movie rated?" I perked
PG.
No way. There's boobs in this movie.
PG.
No chance.
It's PG.
I guess it came out 80, right?
Yep. It's PG.
Fucking PG movies just flopping tits around.
Yep.
Respectfully, gotta have that in there. I was like, they're just random. They're just like,
Randy was a very nice lady. Respectfully.
Lorna Patterson.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know who that. I think that was one of the ones where I was like, I should know who you are more, but I don't. But I couldn't really find anything that told me I should know who she was. So.
No. Fucking PG. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I specifically looked at that when I turned it on to replay it tonight. I was like, no shit, this is PG, not even PG-13.
Well, PG-13 was,
well, I guess it didn't exist yet, but yeah.
I mean, that took Gremlins and Temple of Doom when he, you know, rips the dude's fucking heart out and holds it. But in Gremlins, you know, where one of the characters' trauma is her dad fucking being Santa and dying in the goddamn chimney.
I don't know if I've ever watched Gremlins all the way through, and if I have, it was when I was like 10 years old. So
put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
Next year's Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie?
It's literally set at Christmas time.
Is it really?
Yeah,
okay.
He gets Gizmo the gift at Christmas.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I don't know if I've ever watched it all the way through, and if I have, it was 20-some years ago.
But also, it's a Christmas movie like E.T.'s a Halloween movie. Just because it's set a fucking Halloween movie means it's a fucking Halloween movie.
Okay, Die Hard.
Hey, Die Hard's a fucking Christmas movie.
Well, it's the same logic you were just talking about, so.
No, it's not. And
sure it is.
Fucking E.T. going home. Crying about that goddamn alien. Also, great throwaway bit is the luggage waiting on the people. That was cool shit. You know?
Yeah.
All right. How about you guys start emptying your goddamn notebooks and we can make our work?
I've mostly, like, as we've gone through, tried to touch on them. Okay.
I went back to that.
Multiple, things? Multiple actually, people?
Unless she does, like, all right. Never mind. I'm going to stop talking.
Another just shake my head moment, the Air Israel plane, like that's just another, like,
okay
come on,
funny though,
like, I mean, it's like over the top, like completely unnecessary, would never be done today. But it's like one of those things where it made me crack a smile, but I just shook my head like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like one of the, like, right, it's like you're like, okay, they let them do that shit. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's, there's 1980 again.
Yeah, it's for a 2-second joke, and that's it. And I didn't have much else. Of like, I got to a point like early on where I was just like, okay, I can't write down quotes because there's just, it's gonna be way too many.
We forgot the part where they went on a mission trip and he basically set up basketball for them, and very quickly they were experts at basketball then.
Yeah. Dude, there's a whole ass fucking who is in that fucking movie? Air up there. Is that fucking Kevin Bacon? That's not Kevin Bacon. Is that Christian Slater? Who's in the air up there? With Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo.
You guys have seen and heard of the Air up there, right? You're not.
No, I have not.
I have heard of it. I don't know if seen it though.
It is Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
And that's
not. I literally don't know anything. Oh, it's not Dikembe Mutombo.
Looks like it.
Is it Manute Bol? What are you mixing up here?
Nobody we know. Charles Manya. Is that a basketball player?
No idea.
He did play basketball.
did nothing. Air up there, Kevin Bacon. I got that part right. Half a point.
I don't know what that is. So
it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a mission trip version of this movie, but real. And taking itself way too seriously.
Oh, that sounds bad then.
I mean, Kevin Bacon find a tall basketball player in Kenya and taking him to the U.S. to make money? What's problematic about that?
Oh, no.
That gets made today.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No, I think we've literally touched on everything I have marked on here, or at least I've said something about every line that I noted out.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have anything else really. Had, you know, like I said, just a few of those bits, but if you're going to rattle them all off, we'll be here.
It made $21 million in 1993. I think that's good money. Sorry, stop. This is why, anyways. So we're not doing the air up there for a rewatch?
No.
I don't think so. No,
considering I've never heard of it, no.
We should watch Air Bud 3 instead. Let the people vote.
No, I think we have some other movies to watch before we start ringing out Air Bud movies, buddy.
Surprisingly, it holds a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Did you guys know that the pilot in this movie is Jim Phelps from the original Mission Impossible movies? That's kind of cool.
I did not.
I didn't know that either. I was looking at it. Like, I feel like he was a pretty well-known actor. And I was trying to figure out who
Peter Graves?
Yeah.
Yeah, he felt like a guy that was probably real famous that I just was kind of far enough before me that I didn't know.
Like, real famous in 1980. We should say that. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm done talking over your guys' quotes. Go ahead, hit the quotes.
I'm done.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't have any other ones. I think all the ones I've got down, yeah, we've hit. So
143 episodes of Mission Impossible. Fuck. What's more impressive that I made 119 episodes of Untouchables or 143 episodes of Mission Impossible?
Buddy, I don't know.
I don't know. It's
how do you make 119 episodes of Elliot Ness going after fucking Al Capone? At some point, like, you're like, come on.
I don't know. They made a lot of episodes of a lot of things that I question. So,
yeah. You know, like, you know, Breaking Bad.
No. That
makes no sense. I'm sorry.
No. Shows like Supernatural that they made twice as many episodes as
trying to get Sean to fight you right now?
I love Supernatural, but they made twice as many, like, they made twice as many seasons as they should have.
I'd like to watch Supernatural, but there's fucking 885 episodes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that show was great, but they could have made half as many seasons of that show.
And Sean, when can I watch that, and when can I just bail? Like, when's a good bailing point? I heard after season 5 is a good spot. We can just quit.
I was going to say it's got to be somewhere around there before they
fight God and kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm making this shit up. I'm pretty sure they killed God in that fucking show.
I'd have I don't know about God, but I'd have to read.
John, do they kill God?
I don't think they kill God.
No. I remember I watched
measures never gets anywhere.
I haven't went all the way through and finished it yet, but I watched through like 3/4 of that show and I enjoyed a lot of it. But yeah, like they get to a point where there is like a couple good cutoff seasons where you just stop. Like, it's not worth it.
Kind of like the last 5 minutes for the end of How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Just quit.
Stop before the last season.
I think I did watch like the last 5 minutes of Supernatural on YouTube once just to see how it ended. And then I saw that and I'm like, oh, but that pissed people off. Anyways, Airplane's pretty damn good. It's on AMC Plus. You can get yourself a free trial. That's what I did. Because I
bought it on Amazon. Which may or may not mean anything in the next 5 years or whatever. But, you know, whatever.
You bought it back in November. And we were going to watch When Jerry's Not Mobile and we got confused.
No, I bought it today. It was like super on sale. It's like $5. So I just bought it.
We probably figure out our next movie.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're going to do romance movies last year on Valentine's Day, around them. So,
what do we did? Crazy Stupid Love.
We did Crazy Stupid Love, and we did another one. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember what the other one was. We might do that. We'll see. We'll have to talk about it.
Anyways, boys, until next time, we'll be back soon, hopefully in 2 weeks, which will be probably a fucking Valentine's Day movie. Now I'm looking at the calendar. So,
yeah,
possibly. I did just watch When Harry Met Sally. I'll watch that again. You know, or we just like go straight into like super, super romantic, like tournament. Titanic sinks in that one. Sleepless in Seattle. You got mail? Deliverance?
We'll figure it out. We'll workshop. Deliverance? What?
It's a love story, you know?
Oh, there's some, yeah.
she's just misunderstood. And she didn't want him to leave, and now his ankle is gone.
That's not Deliverance.
Oh, wait. Dolores Claiborne.
You're talking about the author she kidnaps him.
Dolores Claiborne, yeah.
Yeah, Deliverance is. What is that movie? Pig. Deliverance is ding, 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 ding. That's a whole different type of romance going on there.
Both of those are love that is not turned.
What is that movie called when she
Dolores Claiborne? Dolores Claiborne.
That's not what it's called.
Misery. Misery.
I was gonna say that's not what the movie's called though.
Is her name Dolores Claiborne?
Anyways. Probably.
Deliverance and Misery are both about misunderstood love.
Coming up next, Deliverance and Misery. Oh, man. I watched that scene of her busting his ankles when I was like 10 years old because my mom liked that movie. Oh, man. Anyway.
I have questions, but until next time, I am Ted Flint, Jake Voss, Sean, Ted Specimen. Do not hit someone's ankle with a fucking mallet.
Sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer. I knew it was bigger than a mallet.
Yeah.
Don't do that. No.
It's not good for anybody.
Especially the guy whose ankle gets busted. All right, guys. We're going to have some. I quit. Later.
Peace out.